Welcome to Revive Her, a transformative space where we break down walls to unearth the incredible power that lies within every woman. We're your hosts, Haley and Noel.
Dive into candid conversations about entrepreneurship, faith, and relationships, and the journeys that define us. Are you ready? Welcome back, Revivers. We have an exciting episode for you all today. I can't wait for this one because we are actually going to do almost like a brain dump session. We've gave you the opportunity to pick our brains. And it's funny because I remember 5 years ago when I was starting my entrepreneurship journey and I was diving into the industry that I work in, we had a work conference and I sold the pictures off of my kitchen walls to be there because I knew how important it was to just pick their brains. And it's so funny to even look at that journey over the last 5 years, but I took that wisdom and knowledge that they gave me and I applied it. And that's truly how I'm here today. And so that's what we're going to do for you all today is we're going to give back to you. So we have some questions that we're going to answer.
And you can Google just about anything and feel helped, but man, there's nothing like experience and just like hearing someone else's journey or tips or wisdom because they've lived it or they're, you know, going through it. It hits differently when you're speaking to a real human about things.
Yeah.
And it makes you feel less alone too.
Yeah. When it's someone's real experience, my favorite thing, I love listening to podcasts where people share their stories of how they started their businesses
and the good, bad, and the ugly, not just the highlights. Instagram reel.
I love those podcasts. So I'm excited for this.
Okay. So Noelle, let's kick it off with what's one mistake you made early on that you still think about and like, what did it teach you?
I would say taking on too much. Mm-hmm. And whenever I first started working in brand deals and getting brand deals, I was so desperate that I would take a brand deal from the most ridiculous things.
Yes.
And I remember like Ponds was huge and then like the apricot scrub and then like Dove and just like these random things that I'm like, man, I don't even use this or like it, but you become desperate in the beginning to get your name out there. And so I accepted some brand deals that I was like, oh, I don't even like this, but I did the content, but I had to learn from that. And so today, 5 years later, you will not see me accepting anything that I do not genuinely love and use because I have learned that trust is everything with your network. What about you?
Yeah, I would say like saying yes to everything because when you're, that's like the first thing that came to mind. You're trying to build, you're trying to get off the ground, you're trying to get your name out there so you can get more business. And I had zero boundaries. I remember taking, it was like my second ever client. And when I mean like OG start in the virtual assistant business, not even my copywriting business, which the VA stuff lasted like 2 months. But anyway, it's because I didn't have boundaries and I didn't like it. But my second ever client, they were in Thailand and I thought it was like the coolest. And I still do think their business is so cool. And I was like, oh my gosh, this type of person wants to work with me. I didn't factor in the time difference when I said yes to these people.
Gosh,
and then once I realized, I'm going to be working at 1 a.m. I still said yes because I needed the money. I wanted the money. I wanted the referral. So I would literally go in my office and start at 11 o'clock at night. And I would have to like make phone calls to these schools to get them in schools for their presentations and stuff. And I would be from like 11 to about 1:30 in the morning making calls on Zoom. I was miserable.
Yeah. Working the night shift.
Yes. And I was like, why am I doing this? Like, is this the type of business that I want to have?
Yeah.
So moments like that of saying yes to everything, because like you said, desperation. I just wanted to build. I wanted the money. I needed the money.
Yeah.
I just said no to like three different huge contracts. There was a $7,000 project that came through and they wanted me to make changes to our contract, which is there to legally protect us.
Yeah.
It's there to make sure we get paid for what we do, all the things. And little Haley 3 years ago would have said, okay,
sure,
I'll make the changes. Yeah. Now I have boundaries. I have respect for my business and our processes. And I said, I'm sorry, this is here to legally protect us. I can't. You know what happened? They still said yes.
Yeah.
They're like, okay, sign the $7,000 contract.
Yeah.
And it's because I have boundaries now.
Yeah.
And if they had said no, I want to say this to you, if they had said no, that's okay.
Yeah.
Because your peace is not worth the money. It's not worth going against your boundaries. It's just not worth it.
It's not. Absolutely not. So what is something that you wish someone had told you before you started your business?
Oof, that's a good question. I would probably say that it's not worth selling out. And what I mean by selling out is like doing things that you aren't comfortable with doing, or like the answer. I know this is lame, but the answer to number one, it's not worth sacrificing my peace to get a paycheck. That's like probably the biggest thing, is I wish someone had told me to say no more often.
Yeah. So for me, I don't come from like a family of business owners. My whole family, they're like blue collar, like work for what you have. Like they've worked their whole lives. Mm-hmm. And so for me, it's so simple, but I just wish someone would have told me what I needed to do. Mm-hmm. Like, this is how you start a business. This is important right now. And I wish that I would have done all of those things in the beginning versus doing them when I needed them, like because of growing pains. Yeah. And I think of like my CPA and man, I wish I would have just hired her the day I started.
Yeah.
Like, I need you the day I start, rather than hiring her during a season of like growing pains of like, I've been trying to do this by myself. And just having someone to say like, this is normal, gets hard. Yeah. This is hard, but it's normal. This is normal for business owners. And I think that when you don't come from a family of business owners, you don't have that, right? Yeah. It's almost like, what you're doing is crazy. Like, what do you mean you did this? Or you worked this long, or you did this? But I wish I just had someone to tell me the logistics of business.
Yeah.
The basics.
And now that I'm like, have a chance, at, like I'm bad at being put on the spot. I wish someone would have told me that my business doesn't have to look like everybody else's.
Yeah.
Because I am in this spot now where I am so genuinely content with how I'm doing business.
Yeah.
And a lot of people would probably look at me and be like, ugh, like you realize you could be making millions, right? I don't want to make millions.
Yeah.
Like, in order to make millions or make more money than I'm making now, and I'm living comfortably.
Yeah.
I would need to do X, Y, Z. I don't want to do X, Y, Z.
Yeah.
Like, there are women and there are people that do, good for you. And if I compare myself, or if I compare my business to others, like I can easily feel small, or feel like I should be doing more, right, or should be doing it different. And I was never told that. Like, you feel when you start a business that you look at all these other people, you hire coaches, you hire mentors, you think there's a specific way that you have to do business to succeed.
Oh yeah.
And it's just not true. And I didn't know that. I would say I didn't know that or feel that until like the last year, where I was like, okay, how do I want to live? Like, how do I want my business to affect my personal life? Yeah. Like, do I want my business to take over my whole life? Absolutely not. Hear me when I say, you run your business how you want to run it.
Yes.
Period. And you will be successful if you stay true to that.
Yeah. And you don't need a coach for everything.
Yeah.
This is a trap that I fell into because it's like, oh, you need a life coach, you need a finance coach, you need a social media coach. Like, you need all these things. That's a lot of money that you can waste.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, if you're not doing the action in your business, it don't matter what they're coaching you on. Mm-hmm. And like, I have friends that have coaches for everything. But when you look at like that personal business, it's like, is that helping them? Mm-hmm. So do not fall into that. Yep. Like, I have built massive things without life coaches and without financial coaches. Could I use some financial help? Yeah, probably. Now that I'm in this and it's like where I make money, it's like, yeah, there's been times that I've like, man, I need help with this, because once again, like how I was raised, I wasn't raised around money. I wasn't raised that when you have money, you need to do this and this and this. It was just like always barely making ends meet. And so there's growing pains, but don't feel like that you have to invest in all of these things. There are things you need to invest in, but there's also things that you just, I think it's gimmicky.
Yeah. And it goes back to like your version of success. My version of success is not even the same as your version of success. If you hire mentors, they're going to teach you their version of success.
Yeah.
Sometimes that aligns with yours and sometimes it doesn't. So you're chasing these things that are never going to make you happy.
Right.
This LOL. Well, this next question, have you ever felt like quitting your business?
Yeah. Like this morning, I think.
Like, I don't, like, do I ever not feel like quitting my business is a better question.
Yes.
So what made you stay in these moments? What makes you stay? Cause like, I feel like you're just always going to feel like quitting.
Oh my gosh. I think for me, like what makes me stay is the impact that I can make on someone else. Every single time I've wanted to give up and every single time I've wanted to quit, it's like a little just signal from God comes. Like, even if it's a text message, this is a perfect example. I have a friend, her name's Katie. And she is like one of my social media besties. And we just connected. I just feel so drawn to her, like mm-hmm. her faith and iron sharpens iron. And I was having a moment about, it's been a couple of weeks ago, and I was in my bathroom mm-hmm. and I was just like, God, is this even like, is this what you have called me to do? Mm-hmm. Because I'm not feeling like it mm-hmm. right now. Like I felt just all these emotions and just even like 2007 Noel, like yeah. in there. And I'm like, is this what you've called me to do? Literally 30 seconds later, I got a voice clip from her and she was like, I just want to encourage you. She was like, I see you. And every day that I see you, I think, man, she doesn't let her past experiences define who she is. Mm. Like she just gets up and she just puts one foot in front of the other. Mm. And it was an actual word from the Lord. I wrote her back and I was like, I can't form a sentence right now, but when I can, I'm gonna voice clip you, because I was so shocked that yeah. I was like, okay, like I'm gonna keep on. You're not always gonna have people that are cheering you on. And mm-hmm. I think that's something else is like, moments I've wanted to quit is because I just feel like, what am I doing this mm-hmm. for? And you just have to remember your why. It's yeah. so simple, but like your why is why you get out of bed and why you do it.
Yeah. I love that Noelle had this beautiful Jesus filled answer when, yes, I feel like quitting my business all the time. And what makes me stay is y'all, I like doing what I want yeah. when I want.
Like, I like that too. I do.
I
like
love
that.
The impact, but like the first thing that came to mind is I am so much happier having my business because I can lay in bed and yeah. get up when I want and start my day with coffee. I can stop and run on the treadmill when I want. I'm yeah. just fully in charge of my life. And my mental health is so much better in this stage of life than it's ever been.
Yeah.
And that's what makes me do it is like, I like being in charge of my life. I like being able to go love on someone or volunteer somewhere and work that into my schedule and not have to ask off or not have to yeah. just let someone else run my life. Like I was just so miserable in my old job. So, and of course I do love what I do. I love the impact. I do love helping other people's businesses succeed, but yeah, I just, what makes me stay is like, I make good money and I get to do what I want.
I do love that. Yeah. I love working from home. I'm going to tell a funny story real quick because this aligns perfectly, but about a little over a month ago, I had this like epiphany that my mental health was so bad. And I think this is a side of working from home that people don't talk about. Like I've been in it now for 5 years. Mm-hmm. It does take a toll on your mental health. Yeah. Like being home, your home becomes like my home. I've always seen like my home as this like peaceful place, mm-hmm. right? When you work from home, like your home is not that peaceful mm-hmm. place at times. It's like, this is where I work and this is where I sleep and this mm-hmm. is where I eat. And it's like, I got to this place where I was like, I need to get out of this house. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, I'm going to go work at a coffee shop, work my business at a coffee yeah. shop, or I'm going to rent a little spot in town. Like I was even looking at renting an actual office mm-hmm. so I could leave here. And then I got this bright idea, like, I'm going to apply for a job. And I told Drew, I was like, I think I'm going to apply for a part-time job. And he's like, why? Yeah. I make great money doing what I do. And people always associate that. Like, oh, she's not making money. But I was at a place where I hated being home. Yeah. I was like, get me out of here. Like, I can't work here anymore. So I apply for this marketing job. It's like a part-time marketing job. And I would be out. Like I have this desire to be in my community and I'm not a people person, but I have that. Like mm-hmm. I miss human connection. Yeah. And like, I have no friends other than my social media friends. Yeah. And I'm like, I yeah. need people in real life to do life with.
Yeah.
So I apply for this job in marketing. Not even 24 hours later, I get an email that I'm not qualified.
What?
Yes. A marketing job for Hard Rock Hotels, because the Hard Rock just opened here.
When did you do this?
This has been like a month or two ago.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. So I applied and I was like, you know what? I can get out. I can meet people. Yeah. Like I can get my name out there, you know, all this stuff.
Yeah.
And I can get out of the house. It was literally like, it was 2 days a week. And I was like, that's perfect. And then I can just work like a dog, you know, the other yeah. 4 days or 5 days. Well, anyway, so it was like, you had to have experience in content creation and like you had to have experience in marketing mm-hmm. and all this. And I'm like, I got this in the bag. Yeah. Like I've created I mean, a $20 million business in marketing, and I'm not qualified. And I remember when I got the email, I was like, well, thank you, God. Like, thanks, God. Like that, I just took it as a nudge from him as like, no, ma'am, you're not going to go work for the casino, you know, like you're going to keep doing what I've called you to do. And so anyway, that's such a good story.
Perspective.
Yeah.
That's like, that's a solid way to take that rejection.
I haven't lost sleep over it. And I'm like, that was just a temporary lapse of judgment for me.
So how do you, this is like a really great segue. How do you handle when something flops, like a launch or a pitch or an idea, anything like that? Like, how do you handle if something just doesn't pan out like it, you thought it would?
Well, it used to be detrimental to me. And I would literally like have the biggest pity party ever and feel like I was the largest failure. And now I embrace it.
Yeah.
Like if something flops, it flops. If we have a product launch and it does terrible, like it does terrible, you know? Yeah. And I just, you have to embrace it and you have to learn from it. But I think the most important thing is you have to say, like, what can I do different next time? Was it your marketing? Was it your business strategy? Like, was your heart really in it?
Yeah.
Or were you just doing it for the title or for like the fame and the glory and all that? So yeah, I just embrace it.
I make sure I'm very diligent and not tying my worth to whatever it is.
Yeah, that's hard.
If a huge client that I really wanted, a big brand or whatever it is, doesn't like rejects us, or we have a call and they're like, oh, you're not the right fit, or you know, whatever, I can either tie my worth to it and question my existence in my business, be like, oh my gosh, I'm a terrible copywriter, like my business is horrible, like why don't they want me? Or I could be like, okay, there's a better copywriter for them who's more aligned with their energy or processes or whatever. It has absolutely nothing to do with my ability, my business, my worth. And I have to be very diligent in not tying my worth to it. And I really encourage you, because most of the time, if we get upset, if we get into that detrimental spot, it's because we're tying our worth to it. It's because we're confusing their rejection or the rejection of a business or a bad product launch or whatever. We're saying it reflects us and it doesn't.
Yeah. And no isn't always no forever. I think that's something that we forget to. Even me, I've had like discovery calls where I'm looking to work with brands. I'm looking to work, like I'm looking to hire someone or do something. And it's like the call, maybe it's just not right for the season of life I'm in. Maybe the price doesn't fit into the season of life I'm in. And it has nothing to do with the provider and everything to do with me. And so I think like keeping that in the forefront of your mind too, that it's not always you. You're not always the reason. But if you are, I feel like Haley is this kind of person. I could be wrong, but I feel like she is someone that she wants to know why. Like, why didn't you choose me? And like, she's fine saying like, hey, what was it that didn't click? Like, why didn't you choose me? And I feel like that even that's powerful, like getting there and like whatever they have to say as to why they didn't choose you and then implementing it and doing better if it's in alignment with what you want to do.
Yeah.
You know, if it's like, oh man, I could do that better.
I think there's such a balance to that, because I do find myself even now, I think it was like this week or last week, we had someone that was not sure if they wanted to hire us. They were doing different interviews and they ended up going with a different company. And my first instinct was like, oh, well, why? Like, I wonder why. Like, I'm a question asker, and it's just because that's how my brain processes things. And I have to catch myself. And I think there are times that it does matter why. Yeah. And then I think there are times that it doesn't. And I would almost argue most of the time it doesn't matter, because they didn't pick you. There's other people for you. The whatever it is that's going on, like sometimes the why just doesn't matter and you keep trucking along. And then sometimes it does. Like maybe your systems are trash. Maybe your marketing is really bad. It just really, there's a balance of when the why matters and when it doesn't. Right. So like, I think you have to be diligent too, and discerning. I think discernment's like a huge thing. You have to discern, like, is this a moment where I need to press in and figure out why? Or is this a moment where it's just me and my worth getting tangled up in it?
Yeah, for sure.
What is the best advice you have ever been given about running a business?
I would say that the way that you get what you want is by helping your people get what they want. That has stuck with me for years and years. And sometimes it's not about like what we want. It's about helping our people achieve what they're looking for in what I do and even in what you do. I mean, you have to think, like, if you help your client get the results that they want, you get what you want.
Yeah.
Right. So what's one thing you wish you could go back and tell your younger self?
Gosh, that list is a freaking novel. So many things. Learn to say no. learn to set boundaries, learn like just all the things that we always talk about on these. But yeah. I would say to believe the biggest thing is growing up, teenage years, like even into adulthood, I did not think I had any worth. I did not believe in myself. Yeah. I was very insecure. Like I genuinely thought that I had no purpose in life. That became my identity. It's why I got into like such a bad spot. So like I would go back and tell myself like, God has such a plan for you. Yeah. Like hold fast in these moments. Feel, because I wouldn't feel myself as a teen, even early adulthood. I wouldn't feel myself with the word in these moments. Yeah. I would believe like the lies of the enemy became my identity. So I'd say like, when you're questioning things, when you feel like you don't have purpose or worth, like when you feel like you're not good enough, you don't have anything to offer, like remind yourself of what God says, like read yeah. his word, fill yourself with him and his word in these moments yeah. and know that God has a plan and a purpose for you. Like he says in Jeremiah 29:11, I just wish I reminded myself of that
yeah.
more, because I think I would have prevented a lot of the crap I went through that could have been prevented.
Yeah. That's the same for me. I would just encourage myself, because mm-hmm. I think that back then I had that hunger to like make mm-hmm. something of myself. But another thing I would do is I think back to like my little teenage self mm-hmm. and I was so caught up in my relationships and so caught up in like my boyfriend and like all of this. And it might sound so silly, but I think I've always longed for love.
Yeah.
And like I just wanted to be loved and I wanted to be accepted. That comes from trauma mm-hmm. from my father mm-hmm. not loving me and not accepting me. And so I wish that when I was younger, I was living and not so caught up in like trying to find someone to love me yeah. and like trying to find my future husband at 16 years old. Mm-hmm. Like I wasted so much time, so much drama, like so much just emotional abuse back yeah. then over a stupid boy. Like I wish at 16, I would just tell myself, hey, like God has the perfect person for yeah. you. Like you haven't met him yet, you know, like just take care of being a kid right now. And then also just yeah. encouraging myself that you're going to do big things. And then I think too, when I was in the trenches of postpartum depression and whenever mm-hmm. I had just had Oakley, and man, I was in the darkest season of my whole life. Mm-hmm. I do wish I could go to that moment and just tell her, you're going to make it. Mm-hmm. Like one day this whole mess is going to be a massive message. And like, you're yeah. going to impact so many lives. This doesn't make sense right now, but like you can't end it right here. Like you got to keep going, you know, because mm-hmm. that is a younger me that needed that encouragement too.
Mm-hmm. How do you navigate seasons when life feels overwhelming?
Whew.
I feel like life can always feel overwhelming yeah. if we're not careful. But
yeah, I don't navigate seasons very well mm-hmm. of overwhelm. And that's just me being completely yeah. real and raw. Like I struggle. And mm-hmm. so I think I've been in a season of overwhelm since summer mm-hmm. and it's like it has overwhelmed me to the point to where it's affected me. It's mm-hmm. affected my business and how I show up and all of that. And so I try, and I feel like this is terrible advice, but like the best thing I can tell you is just keep going.
Yeah.
On the days when you don't feel like showing up, you know, there are people that can be like, don't show up, like take yeah. care of yourself, fill your cup. Like I would tell you the opposite. Like show up mm-hmm. and make yourself get up. Like mm-hmm. the days you just want to lay in the bed, don't lay in the bed, get up, yeah. make your bed, like get on a routine and get on a schedule and stick to it as much as possible, mm-hmm. because that's truly how I've overcome that overwhelm mm-hmm. is yes, rest. Yes, take care of yourself, but don't let it become like a habit that you mm-hmm. fall into.
It's different depending on how you process, how you handle yeah. things. The biggest thing for me, my therapist has made me like, she's beat this in my head when I was going to her, is to give myself grace. Like yeah. I wish I could get paid every time she told me to give myself grace
yes.
and to stop like the negative self-talk. Like yes. when I get overwhelmed, I speak really poorly to myself.
Me too. Yes.
I'm like really hard on myself. I'm mean to myself. She's like one time in a session like years ago, she was like, do you hear how you're talking about yourself?
Yeah.
Would you ever speak to your nieces or nephews like that? Like, yeah. would you say that to them or about them? And she like got teary one session. She's like, it's so hard to hear how you talk about yourself.
Yeah.
And so one is to be aware. I have to be aware when I'm in a season of overwhelm of like, yeah. my patterns, because it's the same every time. And it's so funny that I couldn't ever notice that before I went to therapy. Yeah. And she like pointed out that I have the exact same pattern when I get into a hard spot. And it's always to be hard on myself, to yeah. always bring up the shoulds, like I should yeah. be this way, I should be that way, I shouldn't feel this way. So I try, and I don't always succeed, but I try to notice my patterns. I try to give myself grace. And when I start speaking poorly about myself, because that always makes it worse. It always sends me down a spiral that can spiral fast.
Yeah.
To stop in that moment, speak positively to myself, like positive reinforcement, give myself grace to be like, okay, you're just in a hard moment right now and that's okay. You do what you can, blah, blah, blah. So like, that's the biggest thing for me. It's difficult to do, if I'm being honest, because like your feelings are so strong when you're in a season of overwhelm, but you just have to be diligent. And I think that goes in line with what you said of just, you just push through. Like it's going to just know it's going to suck for a while, but like there's going to be a moment where it doesn't suck anymore.
Yeah. And those negative words, something I've seen lately that's like a new season for me is how they affect my kids.
Mm-hmm.
The other day I was having a terrible, terrible day. And like Sailor wrote me a note and she was like, you're the best mom ever. And like, I beat myself up in front of them.
Yeah.
And it's like, if I say like, man, I just feel like I'm failing at being a mom. It's like, they're like, oh, what do you mean? Like they're so shocked because it's not true.
Yeah.
It's like, we're so mean to ourselves that it's just like, they take it to heart. Yeah. And I've had to be very, very selective about things that I've said to Sailor and in front of her, because I said the other day, I told Drew this, and this is on me, but this is, if you know me, I'm vulnerable, I'm real, and I'm raw, and I'll tell you.
Yeah.
And I was just telling him, I was like, you know, the kids' behavior just really ruined my day.
Yeah.
And I said that in the pantry. Like, we were in the pantry talking. Yeah. The kids weren't in there, but Sailor was standing at the door and she wrote me a note. Oh. And I have it over there. And it said, like, I know you probably think I'm the worst kid ever, but I think you're the best mom ever.
Oh.
And it was like one of those moments that I was like, oh gosh, I got to choose my words, because yes, I might have felt like that in the moment. And yes, that may have been true. Mm. Their behavior may have ruined my whole day, because that's just a whole nother story. But we went to Sam's Club and it was like, get me out of here as fast as I can. I got to my car. I was crying and I was like so overstimulated and overwhelmed. I was like, never again. Yeah. We're not going to Sam's again. And so anyway, but just how powerful your words and your negative self-talk is to your kids and your husband and people around you. Like, that was a punch in the gut for me, that I was like, oh baby, I need to do better.
Yeah.
And then trying to tell her, like, in that situation, rather than being like, well, you did ruin my day. Just saying like, I'm sorry that I said that, you know, I should have just kept it to myself. Like, sometimes the things that we think we shouldn't say, and like, just like trying to teach her the right thing to do. But man, nobody prepares you for these days.
Okay. And to wrap it up, what is the most meaningful compliment you've ever received?
There's a few, I feel like, but number one is that I feel like this is so cliche, and I always say this, but like, when people tell me that their faith is stronger because like I pointed them towards like the word, or like, I can think of people I've met in business that like, I've just encouraged them and their families to go to church.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, your problems are going to be solved if you just go to church and find a church. It's always that always impacts me so much and reminds me why I'm doing what I'm doing. But also like on the business side, I love when something I've told somebody to implement or try works for them.
Yeah.
And they have like seen just that little bit of success they've been looking for, or maybe it helped their problem solving or anything like that. So definitely those two things.
For me, it's I don't have like a specific sentence, but anytime you compliment my character, I will melt before you.
Yes.
And I mean, and I will say, like, I have had very poor character at times. I have been living in sin. I have sinned. Like all of us, we never have perfect character, but like, I genuinely always try to treat people right and like fail all the time. But when someone notices, like if they say my business is wholesome, or that I've inspired them because I've XYZ, or just anything tied to like who I am as a person, that's all I could ever dream of, is someone thinking that I'm a good person. Like, because I really do strive to honor God and like to have him proud of me and to make an impact on people. So anything. And if you tell me I'm funny, I like that too. I've had like people this week repost reels and be like, you're so funny. And I'm like, I eat that up. Yeah. You tell me I'm funny all the time.
I like that too. I think too, because humor is so important to me. Yeah. And this is funny, but my friends, like they describe me as weird. Yeah. And so I have these two friends and they're like always like, you're weird. And I love that about mm-hmm. you. And like, that's for me. I pray I never lose my weirdness mm-hmm. because I'm serious and like all that, but I am weird. And yeah. like, I want to stay weird. You're proud to be weird.
Yeah. Like, I don't want to be any other way. And like, I can be pretty weird. So that's kind of a compliment too. Tell me I'm weird, y'all. Yeah,
agreed.
We hope you can leave this episode feeling a little bit better about the spot you're in or taking some wisdom or advice and applying it to your own business or life, because y'all, we are all out here trying.
Yes, for sure.
All right. We'll catch you guys next time.
If you enjoyed this episode, make sure to rate the show, follow us on Instagram, leave a review on Apple, and check out our website, reviveherpodcast.com.
Wayfair's big sale is returning. Get ready for Way Day. For 4 days only, score up to 80% off all things home with free shipping on everything. From October 26th through 29th, score Wayfair's best deals, like up to 80% off area rugs, up to 60% off mattresses, up to 60% off bedroom furniture, and more exclusive doorbuster deals. So mark your calendar and shop Way Day starting October 26th at Wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcasts12. Just go to Indeed.com/podcasts12 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcasts12. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.